Speaking on this program is Brother Kevin Key.
Several times over the last few weeks, we've looked back into the Old Testament scripture with regard to Israel. And we've been talking about the fact that they have come out of exile, that they have come out of the bondage of which they were placed under, punished, and now that God is blessing them. And whenever you read from 1 Chronicles chapter 1 through chapter 9, you're going to find a listing of names. And I believe that what is going on there is post-exile. And a lot of times whenever you read from chapter 1 through chapter 9 and you read those names, we have a tendency to just brush over it. We don't spend a lot of time, if you would, in looking at those names and considering what it is that they represent. And if indeed I'm right in the fact that it is post-exile, what is represented there is that God has been working through Ezra and others to reestablish His people in Jerusalem. And God has been working mightily amongst these individuals, not only to make sure that they are there and that they have the things that are necessary for their lives, but also that they're able to reconnect with our God and that they're able now once again to focus on God and worship our God and to serve Him faithfully in and throughout the course of their life. As you come to chapter 9 of 1 Chronicles, you're going to find in verses 13 and following a list of names that is relative to the priest. And what is identified in the context there is that in reference to these priests, there are 1,760 of them that God identifies as able men who are, if you would, fitted for service in the Lord's house. That word "able," as it is given in the context, means the same thing today as what it meant then. It meant that these men were qualified. It meant that these men were focused. It meant that these men were ready for service in the Lord's house. And my friends, I contend that not only do we find is that this was important for God back when He was working amongst Israel in this time frame, but that this is also important for God today. Is that God needs able men to serve in our homes, and God needs able men to serve, to be ready to serve, to be able to be qualified to serve in the church in order for us to be able to glorify God individually, but also more so collectively in a manner that will please Him and will allow Him to be put forth before our world in a way in which God expects Himself to be presented each and every day. What is it that God is wanting whenever we think with regard to able men and the application that as it would be brought forth for us today? To begin with, I believe that God is looking for men who are available. And whenever I think about individuals who are available, my mind goes back to the 8th century with Isaiah. And God had presented a situation before Isaiah there in reference to Israel and how that He needed a spokesman to stand up and to speak for him and to go forth unto the children of Israel. And Isaiah said in a very clear fashion, "Lord, here am I, send me." And as I look to Isaiah, in consideration of our lesson this morning, I must admit I put a lot of thought into this individual and said, who was he and what did he have going on in his life? He was a prophet of God, and that within itself says a lot in regard to the fact that he is busy. He not only would have been busy already in his service to God, but my friends, in like figure, I believe that he had things going on in his personal life. And therefore, Isaiah could have thought to himself, you know, that is indeed a good work. That is something that needs to be done. But yet at the same time, I don't have time for that. And therefore, maybe he could have suggested somebody else might be more qualified or that somebody else might be more available to go out and to work. But he didn't do that. He said, "Lord, here am I, send me." Even though he had a lot of things going on, he made himself available for the service that God had laid before him, that charge to go out and to work amongst his people. Sadly, sometimes today, I believe that often we find is that men in our world, and sadly sometimes even in the Lord's church, we have, if you would, a sign that we hang around our necks that says, "Do not disturb." And men, we cannot do that. we've got to understand is that God places us in leadership roles. God wants us to take charge whenever it comes to our home. God wants us to take those leadership positions in the church and to take that sign, if you would, do not disturb, off of our neck. And maybe if there's something on the other side, flip it around that says, I am available. I am here. I understand what it is that you want me to do. And God, I'm not going to allow myself, and I'm not going to allow my schedule. I'm not going to allow anything or anyone to get in my way. I'm going to step forward and to do what I can to glorify and to honor you. We come forward into the New Testament scripture. Think about the apostles. Whenever we look to the listing of the apostles and the calling of the apostles, and we find these individuals in their settings, in their everyday walk of life, we have some who were fishermen, and in fact, they were fishing. They were involved in the family business whenever the Lord called them. And we don't find is that they were hesitant. We do not find that they were not available. They made themselves available for service in the Lord's work. And men, today I want to encourage all of us to make sure that we are available to serve God, that we are able to serve God to that very end. But then also, I believe that it is imperative for us to realize is that God is looking for, God is wanting men who are sendable. And whenever I think about this idea of being sent, my mind goes back to the Apostle Paul. Whenever he is blinded on the road to Damascus, as what we read of in Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through verse 15, in that matter, he had been going out in service to what he thought was serving God to a manner that would glorify him. But yet at the same time, it is revealed to him in the context of Acts chapter 9 that the service that he was rendering, that it was not right, that it was in opposition to our God. As he was persecuting the church, he was actually persecuting the Lord, coming against the Lord and the Lord's work through his people. And Paul, having been taught about those things, he obeyed the gospel, and therefore he qualifies himself in that sense to be able to be one who is sent out. He is brought into the apostleship, and as a result of all those things then, God uses him. He sends him out as a chosen vessel to work amongst the church in reaching out to the Gentile world. And friends, with all of that, I lay before you as what I trust all of us understand is that we have a commission by God to go out into our world, to go out to the lost, and to do everything that is within our power to do, to help bring those who do not understand the salvation that God extends through Christ to all of humanity. You and I are charged by God to be His spokesperson, to be His mouthpiece before the world, both men and women alike. But who's to lead that charge? The men are. To be very specific, whenever it comes to the church, it is the eldership. We have that huge responsibility. Yes, as a preacher, I play a role in all that. But as an eldership, we are to be material in regard to the development, the planning of the work, and also in leading that charge. And the deacons and every single male member in the church, we ought to do everything that we can to make sure that we are sendable to go out and to proclaim Christ before the world. And why is it important for men to get involved, every man to get involved? Because it is not only a man thing, it is a Christian thing to do. And if the men are involved, then our homes are going to come along with that. And the congregation's going to follow our lead if we're doing what God commands us to do whenever it comes to personal evangelism. But also, let me put another twist on this. There's more to going out. There's more to being sent than teaching Christ unto the lost world. There are people who need to be visited. We have people who are shut-ins who deserve, who need for us to go and to pay them visits. And I couldn't tell you the number of times that I've gone to people and they say, you or the elders are the only ones that ever come. And my friends, I say that to say, not to put us down, but rather to challenge us to greater ends, to say that we need to do everything that we can. And men, we've got to take that role and that responsibility to step up and to step out of our comfort zones, or to step away from ourselves and to step away from other things that may be tying us down and keeping us busy, to step into those roles that God expects us to step into, to be sent out to the glory and honor of His name each and every day. And yes, at the same time, I believe that God wants us to understand, as you go back to 1 Chronicles chapter 9, verses 13 and following, you consider what's going on there with regard to the priest and those over 1,000 men, nearly 2,000, who are able for service in the Lord's house. I believe that you find individuals who are top-notch in regard to their spiritual relationship with God. These individuals were focused on God. And the same then would carry forth back into the New Testament, if you would, is that we are to be immovable whenever it comes to our relationship with God. What does it mean to be immovable? It means that we cannot be moved. Sometimes we sing a song, and we sing it here, and I know we've sang it at CYC and other places, I shall not be moved. And I get encouraged. I am enthused whenever we engage in songs of praise unto our God. But songs like that help to edify me, and I trust that not only am I encouraged, you are encouraged whenever we're singing those songs, I shall not be moved. And that's what God wants us to be as Christians and as men who serve in the church, who lead in the church, and who lead in our homes. Our homes and the church need those godly examples. And men, we are responsible. We're charged by God. He lays that responsibility upon us to make sure that, above all, that we are immovable and always abounding in the work of the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 57 through verse 58. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. And whenever we're doing those things, then in like figure, others will follow our lead. You say, Kevin, what are you saying? I believe that what God is showing us as you read from 1 Chronicles 9, actually, I want you in your own studies to go back to chapter 1. Go back to 1 Chronicles chapter 1 and read all the way through chapter 9. And what you're going to find is that God is showing that these people were dependable. There was a time in their lives where they were not dependable. There was a time in their life where they had violated the law of God. They had rebelled against God, and therefore, that's why God allowed Babylon. That's why God, even going back even further, Assyria, to come in upon His people to punish them, to wake them up, to get them to understand, I cannot be an individual who cannot be dependent upon. I've got to be a person who is fully focused upon God. And as I read from, for the most part, 1 Chronicles chapter 1 through chapter 9, I read about people who are now dependable as they have returned from exile, as they're living a life that God expects them to live. And my friends, God wants us, especially this morning as it applies to the lesson, He wants us as men to be dependable, to make sure that we are not only committing ourselves to the work, but that we're people who will indeed show up. And I think about whenever we hire into a position in life, and whenever we're going through the interview process, if you would, the person who is interviewing us, the person in human resources, a lot of times they'll say, if we've got a past history in work, they'll look at that past history and they'll say, well, you've been dependable or you've not been very dependable. And whether or not we get the job, whether or not we're hired in, a lot of times will depend upon our dependability and whether or not we're able to keep that role. Will depend upon whether or not we are dependable in regard to the work that God expects us to do. And I'm not saying that if we're not dependable, if we're not people who show up and do what it is, that we're going to get rid of you as a member of the church. We don't do that. But I'm saying in the sight of God, God sees those things. And in order for us to maintain our relationship with God, in order for us to maintain our position with God as a faithful member of the church, then we must show Him our dependability in our homes and in the church, in every facet of our lives. We must do everything that we can to be a dependable person, a dependable man. But then, therefore, that stands to reason that God is looking for men who are recognizable. And I want to draw from the context of Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through verse 7. In fact, it goes on even beyond verse 7, but my point is brought forth in the first 7 verses there, where that the apostles received news is that the Hellenistic widows are not receiving the things that are necessary for their daily life. And therefore, as they've received this news, the apostles lay before the people who brought this news and said, you know, it's not meant for us to go in to serve tables. We are responsible. The apostles speaking here, we are responsible for the proclamation of the gospel. God wants us to go out and to establish the church. God wants us to go out and to make sure that the church is rooted and grounded in the truth. And therefore, they say, this is what we're charged to do. And therefore, you need to appoint amongst yourselves men of good reputation, good reports, who will be able to meet the needs of these Hellenistic Jews, widows, if you would. And my point centers in and around those who are of good report. And I want us to apply that context there as it is given, is that they have a good reputation, not amongst the world. Yes, the world's important there, don't get me wrong. But first and foremost, amongst God as Christians. In other words, you've got to be able to recognize these men. Recognize those who are among you, is what they're saying. Those who are godly men, those who are dependable, those who are immovable, those who are sendable, those who are available. He says, you recognize those men because they are truly committed to God. You put those men into service and their needs are going to be met. And I trust that they were, because we don't read anything else about that, to my knowledge anyway, directly in Scripture. And therefore, all of us men in the church, we need to make sure that we are living a life that is Christ-like, that not only do we proclaim to be true, but that it is true and recognizable unto anyone who knows us. Our families would be able to say that. The people that we work with would be able to vouch for that, as well as the church of which we assemble with would be able to see how that we are committed to Christ. But then finally, I believe that God is looking for men who are commendable. Men that we can come to and to say, you know, we see your life. We understand your works. We see what it is that you're focused on. And we're so glad to see that you're committed to Christ. And therefore, we commend you before the church. We can stand before you and say, this individual would serve as a good elder. This individual would serve as a good deacon. This individual would serve as a great servant to work in the church in this area or in that area. And therefore, men, we need to do everything that we can to make sure that our name is the name that would glorify God to the point to where people would recommend us, not only as a servant, recognize us not only as a servant, but that they would also be able to commend us for the works that we do in our homes and works that we do in the church each and every day. God is looking for able men. Men who have a desire, men who have an ability to serve in our homes and in the church. Why? Men, because it is through the men that our homes come to understand the Lord. It is through the men that the church comes to work and to do what it is that we do or not to do in some cases. And therefore, we need to put ourselves forward in the most positive manner that we possibly can. If you're here this morning and you're not a New Testament Christian, I realize that this morning's lesson has been more so about roles, responsibilities for men in the church, men who are already Christians, but it may be that we have people here who are not Christians. And therefore, you say, I know I need to be baptized. I realize the Bible teaches that it must be for the forgiveness of sin, and I'm ready to do that. If you're willing to do that, you're wanting to do that, we would love to be able to assist you to become a Christian today. It may be that you're here and you say, you know, I've been reading and studying and I'm a part of a church, but at the same time, that church doesn't seem to line up with the Bible, or I have things going on in my life and I don't quite understand the Bible and I want to know more. We will take whatever time that you will give us. We'll sacrifice whatever time is necessary. We'll spend however much time you need to sit down and study God's Word with you today if necessary, if you would like, or this week we'll set up a time. We want to make sure that you understand what God commands, what God expects us to do in order for us to be a Christian and in order for us to serve Him. It may also be that you're here and you're an erring member of the church, and you say, you know, I've lived my life away from God now for a time, and I want to come home. I want to make sure that I'm right with God. I don't know how long I've got. I don't know if Christ is coming tomorrow. I want to make sure that I'm right with God so that whenever I stand before Him in judgment, I'll go to heaven.